Our second reading is 1 Chronicles chapter 18. Did I say 2 Chronicles? I should have said 1 Chronicles 18. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. And David smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah, unto Hamath, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. David also hawked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadarezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Likewise from Tibhat and from Kun, cities of Hadarezer, brought David very much brass, wherewith Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. Now, when Tou, king of Hamath, heard how David had smitten all the host of Hadarezer, king of Zobah, that he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to inquire of his welfare and to congratulate him, because he had fought against Hadarezer and smitten him. For Hadarezer had war with Tou, and with him all manners of vessels of gold and silver and brass. Them also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom and from Moab and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. And he put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, recorder, and Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Shavshah was the scribe, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and the sons of David were chief about the king. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, the chapter is pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of historical explanation that needs to take place, except for a couple of things. So, first of all, we note that these kingdoms and their names, they are somewhat incidental, because what's being taught in this passage is repeated twice, that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. We are to see the success of David, and we are to see that in contrast to the kingdom of Saul, which seemed always to be struggling with this attack and that attack. Notice that we see David in several of these instances going on the offensive, rather than, oh, I hear the Philistines are attacking me over here, and so I better go do that, which was common in Saul's time. Now we have in the days of David really these battles that belong to the Lord, and David is prosecuting them and reclaiming that land that God had ceded to them, that Canaanite land. All right, so then he will take them even beyond the borders of Canaan, in that there will be a time when Edom becomes subservient. And we have Syria, Damascus. So up in what we would call modern day Syria, remember that Damascus is often called one of the oldest cities in the world, because it really hasn't moved in its geography since the days that David walked the earth. Okay, so then also far east of there, Hadarezer is heading to the river Euphrates to expand his dominions there. And David, we're not told exactly why, but probably because his homeland was back here toward Israel, David stopped up his march to the Euphrates and hawked his horses. Children, what that means is he took the rear tendon on the horse's leg down by the hoof, but down by the ankle that we would call it, and he cut that tendon. And what that does is it makes the horse unable to run as a chariot horse, but it can still work as a plow horse after that injury is healed. That's what it means to hawk a horse, H-O-U-G-H. It's an Old English spelling of something that we pronounce today, H-O-C-K, okay? All right, so we have that. And of course, the reason that you do that to a horse is so that it cannot be used as a weapon of war. But notice the kindness of it, that instead of destroying those horses, they left them that they could still run a plow. They could still run a wagon. They could still run some kind of labor for food. And so we see that David was not a rapacious monarch or enemy, but that he fought the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. This is something I think we've forgotten today, because everybody's using bad strategy, so we have to use evil strategy too. No, we don't. Okay, so then we move on from there, and we see this curious reference here to Abishai, and he was the son of Zeruiah, and he slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. Okay, well, in Psalm 60 and verse 2, and in 2 Samuel 8:13, we see that that valley of the, over the Edomites, I'm sorry, that battle in the Valley of Salt over the Edomites took place under three different hands, under David, under Zeruiah, I'm sorry, not Zeruiah, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and Joab. Well, if Joab is the captain of the host, David is the king of the host, and Abishai is acting under command of Joab, then it can be said of all three of those men that they can be the victor over that Edomite host in the Valley of Salt. So while critics would say, no, this is just a scribal error, and there are errors in the Bible, of course, we always answer to that charge, hold on a second. What we want to do is ask them, well, who gets to decide what the errors are? If it's you, then you become Lord over the Bible, and we're just not ready for that. We're not ready to submit ourselves to that. No, let's find a way like believing Bible study should do, and that is that when we have an apparent discrepancy, we learn to think of it in ways where these apparently disparate elements are actually brought together. Right? It can be said of David that he was the victor. It can be said of Joab that he was the victor. And it can be said of Abishai that he was the victor, each from a different point of view regarding how we would undertake that. You can believe me that in the annals of the ancient Near East, when something like that takes place, the king always takes credit, even though he may not even have been on the field. Right? Okay. And then there's one more thing that takes place here. And that is, David was circumspect with his, two more points. David was circumspect with his friendships, with his alliances here, something we'll talk about later on today. Tou, the king of Hamath, heard how David had smitten all the host of Hadarezer, king of Zobah. Well, he sent his son with gold and silver to David, seeking to congratulate him, maybe forming a league. You're the enemy of my enemy, so you can be my friend. That's not a good way to form covenants and friendships. And so what did David do? And this is the last point, that in everything that David received, when he put men under tribute, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the brass, that David was not in this for himself. He did not amass a war chest of his own. It was put into the treasury of the house of the Lord, that when Solomon his son came after him, he might have plenty of material to build that house. And so we might say it this way, that when David fought these battles, he fought them for the cause of the kingdom of Christ and its building up in that day. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the next selection of Psalm 119.